Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I was kind of waiting for a radio commercial there from our CEO. If it starts randomly, I will stop talking. You are here with Leanne Parsons, the Walk Through Talk Coach, here on Walk Through Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. I am super excited that we are able to be here together today on this beautiful Wednesday, beginning of fall afternoon here in September. Those of you who are new to my broadcast today, I just warmly want to welcome you for being here today. I'm so incredibly honored that you have chosen to spend an hour with us here on Walk Through Talk with Leanne. Those of you who have been with me for a long time, thank you so very much for joining us again today. I am super excited about today's show, as I am every show, but this show is super near and dear to my heart. As those of you who have been following me for a while now, you know that I am super passionate about serving and helping the adoption community kind of navigate the complexities of the journey that we call adoption. Whether you're an adoptee, a mom, a sibling, a grandparent, of somebody who has been touched by adoption, this show is for you. The show is also for you if you are a concerned community member and you desire to raise awareness in a very important arena that we call family. So I am joined today on Walk Through Talk with Leanne by April Dinwiddie. Oh my goodness, she is from the Donaldson Adoption Institute. It is a nationally recognized thought leader on adoption and foster care. April is the executive director of the DAI that we will so warmly call it today. April is committed to improving laws, policies, and practices through sound research, education, and advocacy. So incredibly important in our world of adoption. The launch of Let's Adopt Reform is an initiative that aims to ignite national conversation about adoption in the 21st century in order to highlight what's working, encourage needed change, and strengthen families. So I'm super excited to have April here with me today. And I want to invite you, if you are a listener who so desires to ask either April or myself, Leanne, any questions, I want to encourage you to call in at 646-716-9397. And I will bring you into the studio and you can ask us a question. And so I do want to give a big shout-out, thank you, to Audible.com, who is one of our sponsors here on Life Coach Radio Network. I am one of over 40 coaches here on three different networks that are here to serve you. And so we thank you for joining us. And so without any further ado, welcome April Dinwiddie of the Donaldson Adoption Institute to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Oh, April, it's such an honor to have you with us today here on the radio program. You know, you and I had an opportunity to meet the last couple of years at the American Adoption Congress Convention in San Francisco and in Boston. And you really, your life intrigued me. The energy that you bring to the adoption community inspired me that I just really wanted to reach out to you and bring you on my radio program to share more about your vision. And watching you these last couple of years with the Donaldson Institute, oh my goodness, I've been so inspired by the work that you're doing there. And I would love it if you could just share with us real briefly about how you came to do this work so passionately and in such a committed way, full time.
Well, it's really so wonderful to hear your good words, and they mean so much, because I think when I decided to leave corporate and do more advocacy work full-time, I didn't know really what to expect, and I could always take a day off from being adopted when I was in corporate America, and doing this work can never take a day off, and it's pretty intense. And when your work is recognized, and when you really feel like you're contributing in a way that is inspiring change, and certainly it's not at all about me, you know, in just me. It's so much about the board and the team, the staff we have here, and the partners. So it's great to be doing this, and I can talk a little bit about how we arrived at really a new vision for the Institute, if that makes sense, and then we can talk a little bit about how that new vision has inspired our Let's Adopt Reform initiative.
Oh, I would love that, April. You know, to hear you share about you used to be able to take a day off from being adopted, right, when you were in corporate America, because my goodness, you have kind of been all over the place. Your resume is quite beautiful, and you've been impacting our culture on a regular basis for probably as long as you can remember. And so I would love it if you could share, take a little bit of a look back about where the Donaldson Adoption Institute was and where it is now and where you'd like to see it going. So that would be super. So how would you like to start that conversation? Because there's a lot there, April.
Sure.
And I want to make sure you have enough time to really share all of that. And those of you who know, I am just going to apologize in advance for my goofy voice because I have a bit of a cold today. And so if I sound a little bit off, that is why. So April, kind of jump in because I know our listeners are super duper curious to hear more about this beautiful Let's Adopt Reform initiative.
Sure. So I joined the Donaldson Adoption Institute board, about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now. And the reason why I joined the board, I had started about 15 years prior to that doing a lot of work in very hands-on advocacy work surrounding foster care and adoption. And the reason why I did that was because I had done a search for my birth family. And that search had turned up certainly my birth mom, which was pretty amazing, and I was able to speak to her on a couple of occasions, but I was never able to meet her. And because of her life circumstance and where she was, we didn't have the opportunity to have a relationship. So after having that experience, and even with the amazing, unconditional support of my adoptive family and the ability, the blessing and the resources that I would have that I did have and take advantage of in terms of being able to take care of myself and seek therapy and do all those things, I really needed to do something else to take all that energy around my personal situation and turn it into something positive. And, you know, I grew up in New England with, you know, really hearty and amazing parents. And when something bad happens to you, you don't sit around and worry about it. You do something for somebody else. So that upbringing allowed me to kind of go outside of my personal experience and try to create something to help others. And when I thought about the blessings and the resources that I had, I just really immediately went to what is going on in foster care and how might young people be managing. If it was hard for me as a grown-up to manage a very complicated life circumstance, how are young people managing? So I came up with the idea of a mentoring program that had adopted adults or adults that were in foster care, mentoring to youth in foster care. And that program is still going. It's called Adoptment. And because of that hands-on work, when you work with young people in foster care, right, every day, every week, and you help them and you're working with them, they're helping you just as much as you're helping them, and you're realizing what their reality is and what the reality of the system is, for me, I felt like I needed to have a greater impact on system change and the larger picture if I was to continue to do that work on a regular basis directly with young people and families. So the Institute was the perfect place for me because at the time it was really doing such amazing work around policy advocacy, research, and engagement around very specific topics that felt as though were part of a bigger picture. And I have to give kudos to the leadership at that point in time and to all the people on the board and everyone who worked with the Institute, all of our researchers, and Adam Pertman, who was running the Institute for so long. Have to give kudos to everyone for that great work. So that really inspired me to come to the Institute. And when I started on the board, I really had no intention of being a full-time employee of the Institute. I was really embedded in my corporate career and loving that and doing good work in branding and communications. And just really over time saw the Institute changing and needing change, and after a rigorous process of looking at internal and external ideas and resources, it came to pass that I put my hat into the ring and did all the right things to remove myself from the board and everything like that, and the board unanimously decided to bring me on board, which was really a big vote of confidence. And from there, it really was about in the last 2 years, first year really was about digging in and understanding how this place worked from a different perspective. And it was a lot of analysis and looking at where we'd been. And one thing occurred to us after doing a diagnostic of all of our work, which was we had done amazing work for 20 years, over 40 major publications, over 180 recommendations have been made throughout those publications, and it felt as though there was more to be done, and it also felt as though we knew what to do. It was very clear that based on not only the Institute's work, but the work of other organizations, research and policy organizations and individuals, that it's not a matter of not knowing what to do. It's a matter of actually taking up the action and doing it. So we came to a very salient conclusion that our vision really needed to be refined, redefined. So I'll pause here, Leanne, to see if there's any question or feedback or comment about what got us to, I think, where we are today.
Right. You know, you talked, April, thank you so much for that beautiful synopsis. You know, you talked about 20 years of service, and that's a commitment that the Donaldson Institute has made to the adoption community to just really press on and keep going. And you shared a lot about how you started on the board. You know, and I just want to put just a kudos to you for volunteering there and to all the people who are listening right now. If there's a passion that you have, step onto a board because we learn so much, don't we, April? I'm on a couple of boards here, and we learn in my community, and we learn so much about what's really happening, what the heartbeat of it is. And from what I heard you share, April, is that you heard the heartbeat, and then you answered the call to do something more. And, you know, that resonates deep with me, April, as the Walk Your Talk coach, because I'm not all about just talking about it and re-spinning the same kind of scenario over and over. I'm kind of an action gal as well, and I think that's why I resonated so deeply with you and with your message is, you know, it's time to have, like you and I shared earlier, some modern conversation about what we can do to impact and reform the adoption support movement as a whole. And, you know, I'm real curious, when you talked about digging into that first year and kind of taking a lay of the land, so to speak, what did you see that the Donaldson Adoption Institute had been doing very well during the previous, say, 17 years?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think when you look at adoption and foster care, adoption advocacy and research, there's a wonderful wonderful body of research that exists, again, across organizations and institutions. And I think where the Institute really shined, quite frankly, was around identity work, adoption support services, which is really about making sure that families are prepared, and access to original birth certificates. You know, these were all areas that we committed to early on. We were undertaking groundbreaking research in that time and in some cases contributing to research that had already been done. And what in the most recent past has come to be a place where we're really seeing opportunity is the internet and how things are changing dramatically, people's experiences, both good and bad. And getting a sense of what we can do to help safeguard folks who are using the internet, and also to help learn how the internet can help us. But for the most part, I think when I look back, we were doing a lot, but I don't know if we were going deep enough into certain areas. So what we did as a first step, being the branding and marketing person that I am, is we kind of broke our work up into four areas. The first one is the adoption experience, and that is everything holistically with the adoption experience, from first and birth parents to adoptive parents to adopted people and those experiences that they have around identity and obviously all the laws and the practices and the policies as well. The next is adoption support services, which on its own, when you think about it, it's one of the pillars that we have that is hardest for those outside of adoption, foster care, adoption to really understand. Like, what do you mean you have to train parents to do their jobs? And the truth is, when you're talking about families, as we know, that are in maybe greater need than some families of some additional support services, this is an area where when we do our job right in that respect and we look at all of the needs of families, then that only impacts the larger society when families are stronger and healthier. So those support services are so critical. Foster care adoption, which is very specific. This is not foster care as a whole. It's really how do we impact more young people, more children, getting adopted from the foster care system. So what are the barriers that we need to break down, and how can we create more of a support system? And one of the areas that I feel most impassioned by, based on the work that I've done directly with some young people in foster care, is workforce. I don't think enough is being talked about in terms of the workforce around child welfare, especially around foster care. And that is an area that we will be digging into in the future, because that's the heart and soul of so many of these organizations who are really acting in a lot of ways on behalf of these children as their support system. And then the last one is the modern family, which really takes us into a lot of different places and spaces. We talk about marriage equality. One of the areas underneath that is also the internet, right, that we just talked about a little bit. So we originally went down this path after looking back at what we did well and what we needed to improve upon, really just used those four areas as a way to kind of anchor ourselves. So that was one of the first things that we dug into. And then, like I said, we did a diagnostic. We brought in a PhD student who, by the way, is a member of the community, both as a first and birth parent and an adopted person. So her skill set and personal experience came in at an amazing time, and certainly she was following a passion of hers to really look critically at our work, and that's where we looked at that diagnostic, which was data-informed and certainly anecdotal, but we felt so confident that we really knew what we were doing well and what we needed to improve upon.
Wow, excuse me, that is so amazing, and I love how you broke that down for us, and just the courage that you, as well as the Institute, had to go deeper still and seeing where you can still be of greater service. You know, April, I just had the opportunity to go down to Albuquerque this past weekend to the CYFD conference for foster and adoptive parents. And I was very privileged to have a table there for my coaching practice and talk to the families, talk to the parents who are in the trenches of serving these foster and their adopted kiddos on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, some of the things that they shared with me that was their biggest challenge actually is that support service. Mm-hmm. And looking at, it's interesting that you brought up the modern family, because we are not the same families that we were back, 10 to 20 years ago, even 30 years ago. That whole movement has very much seen a dramatic transformation. And when you talk about breaking down the barriers in foster care and in adoption and really providing a workforce opportunity for these kiddos who are either aging out of the system or who have been adopted into families and really need that support in order to really step into an independent, confident life, what do you see as the number one way that the Institute can serve these folks?
Sure. So when you're looking at these massive system issues, and there's been some great advances as well. I mean, I think there's a lot to be proud of in terms of how so many individuals and organizations have dug in and really made it a priority to look critically at what's happening. When we looked at what we could really do and what we thought the problems were, because there is so much that we studied, both the Institute, inside the Institute and outside of the Institute, about foster care adoption. And what we settled on, and this is a bigger piece of this, is that again, it wasn't about knowing what to do. We know what best practice and what research tells us. We know what life experience tells us. We need to shift perceptions around some of the realities surrounding not only foster care adoption, but adoption in general. So we think and we thought and then put this vision into practice that instead of a, you know, not instead of, because we're still doing a lot of academic research, and I will share some of that with you on some amazing topics. But we thought that a contribution that we could make that has not been made as yet was around perception and around public opinion research. Again, coming from roots in corporate America and seeing how perceptions are formed through media, through news, through content, it occurred to me that there had never really been a large-scale public opinion research project that was really looking at it from a big picture and had no real objective other than to an objective to influence a certain piece. I think there's been a public opinion perception research up to now that wanted to zero in on a specific piece, like we want to get more young people adopted from the foster care system. Very specifically, this is why we're doing this public opinion research. We see it as there's got to be a bigger picture undertaking of these concepts that are all part of those more specific undertaking. But we felt that we were missing something in the wider public really understanding foster care and adoption from foster care and adoption and foster care adoption, because there's some missing links here. And I think one of the things that really solidified this for me was getting more entrenched in advocacy work and talking with lawmakers and going into spaces where there's just not enough time to explain to them your 200-page research paper. You need nuggets. You need very specific, compelling pieces of information that are going to be eye-openers. And unfortunately, some of the research that has been done, it looks at such either a small population or it's harder to pull those nuggets out and really be influential. So this idea of public opinion research, I think, will help impact some of these more specific issues, but by raising the awareness, raising the tenor of the dialogue, and making some eye-opening, connections between the general public. We're surveying the general public on their perceptions on adoption and foster care adoption, and then we're surveying specifically adopted people, first and birth parents, and adoptive parents. We're also doing a small, very focused group of professionals in a smaller, a much more deeper dive. So what we'll have there is we'll have what the general public thinks, and we'll have what each stakeholder group thinks, and we'll be able to compare and contrast in ways that we've never been able to before. And being from, again, my roots in corporate and public relations and communications, I know that editors are looking for those large-scale research nuggets that are what will get approved through an editorial board to be able to get some of these more mass media, coverage. It's not a guarantee, but I think we'll be positioned with some of this information that will be eye-opening and will have the, the stamp of approval from one of the biggest, if not the biggest, public opinion research organizations, J. Walter Thompson, in the world. They do massive public opinion research for just about every brand out there. So we couldn't be more proud that they're working with us on this. And one last thing on that, what I think is so remarkably amazing is that you saw a big corporate entity like J. Walter Thompson showing up and saying, we want to help nonprofits do this kind of research, and we are one of the first nonprofits to work with them in this capacity. So, things are coming together in such a way that make it really timely to be able to be doing this kind of work and hopefully making an impact in a new way.
Oh, I don't see how it couldn't, April. You just did such a beautiful job at explaining that. And you know what I'm just reminded when I hear you share is that we don't know what we don't know. And this research like this, the public opinion research, is so incredibly important. Because I am, you know, I am 50 years old. I'm an adoptee as well. I have been talking about adoption, golly, for well over half of my life. I've been in reunion with my family that long and have been openly sharing my stories. And what's interesting is there's a lot of jaw-dropping with the community and a lot of puzzled looks and then a lot of head nodding that I get, right, as I share my story. And as I share the different stories that I have heard over the years coming from what I like to call the tapestry of adoption, all the different threads that are represented. And, you know, when we start surveying the general public, when we have the courage to lean in and listen to the adoptee's voice, the parents' voices, and the professionals that serve this community so tirelessly, we're going to learn a great deal. And what a blessing to this community, to myself as an adoptee as well as a professional, to have all of this research in a, you know, kind of a concise manner. So what a gift that the Institute is giving to all of us. I'm super excited to see the outcome of this research. Yeah, it's super important. And, you know, I am actually in some training right now, April, with Texas Christian University called TBRI, Trust-Based Relational Intervention. And they've been doing some work for support and awareness for several years now and really looking at the complexities that this unique population, kiddos from hard places, are having to go through, and just about that necessity that the folks that work with them also have different challenges and obstacles to overcome in order to serve this population in such a real dignified way. And so I can really see that this research that you're going to be doing is going to help all of us, the community at large, as well as those of us intimately connected, to be really able to put together best practices and a new strategy in order to serve this, as we have shared, modern families, and start building some bridges to new conversations that we need to have, because the internet is changing everything. You and I have talked about that. People can get information so incredibly fast, and oftentimes they're not prepared for the flood of information that they're getting at such a rapid way. And so I'd love for you to speak to that a little bit, when the research is going to be available, when it's starting, kind of everything that's going on with that and what we can expect.
Sure. Happy to. And it just feels so much like we're going to unearth some things that will be eye-opening, but I also think that for members of the community that have been engaged for some time, some of what we will find will reinforce what we already know. So the other thing I think will be very interesting to look at is comparatively as well within our own community, what each one of our key stakeholder groups are revealing about their experiences and how that compares and contrasts between first and birth parents, adopted people, adoptive parents, because I think one of the things that I was not prepared for was how challenging our authentic relationship building can be within the community. And in a way, it's representative of the challenges that I can speak very candidly and openly as I do about my personal experience, how hard it is to navigate some of the relationships in my life surrounding adoption and foster care. It does translate into the community and how we support one another, or how we engage. And I didn't know how challenging that might be. And I think I see the challenge as an opportunity, because I know that so much of our challenges are rooted in our own personal pain and need to heal. So I'm not putting that on all of us. I'm just saying that what I've realized is that I have to employ patience in my work. I have to take care of myself, and I have to be caring towards other members in the community, because it just feels like doing that will only get us to other ground, you know. So when we're looking at the research, it'll be very telling and interesting. There'll be some sort of nuts and bolts, right? But then there'll be some really eye-opening pieces and parts. So we will be sharing that research in November as we embark on the first town hall meeting. We are hosting a series of 4 town hall meetings across the country starting in November, which will do a few things. One, it will bring the public opinion research to life and really invite members of the community at large to share their experience, to really engage in the conversation. We'll have a panel of members of the community and professionals who will be able to share their personal experience, but also to really share with us too, in part, their professional journey as they have been engaging in this work. And those will be events in 4 cities that will be both live and in person, and we'll also be broadcasting those digitally so people can engage as they sit in their home or wherever they are. And we'll invite questions, obviously, from the community as well. So the research will be the base of the conversation starters, and also what the Institute and others have done in research and action up to now will also be part and will inform the conversation. But this will really be an active opportunity for us to engage, to share what we've learned. And then as we round out the last stop on the tour, we'll be creating a report that takes all of the public opinion research and all that we've discussed and learned over the course of 10 months or so, and we will compile that into a report that we'll deliver in D.C., probably at a press conference, that will take 4 or 5, however many, points that we feel are the most poignant and important points to be focused on over the course of the future in terms of different areas. And again, some may be areas we're already working on, some will be new areas, but our hope in popularizing some of what we'll learn and some of what we already know is to close the gap between a few areas, policy and law, and be able to speak a language that our lawmakers can quickly understand and quickly adapt to and quickly feel a certain kind of an attachment to in a way. I mean, if adoption isn't in your community or, in your personal experience, I feel like sometimes we have a hard time getting people to care. But everybody has a family, right? So if you start there, there may be some more connecting points we can offer. Also, to look at more connections for funding for our work, right? I often feel like our world, our community in terms of adoption and foster care adoption doesn't get the support of the corporate community. There are only a few corporations. Jockey, we hold up a huge halo for them. Also, obviously, Wendy's through the Dave Thomas Foundation. These are companies that have committed dollars and resources and time and energy to our work, but they're far and few between. And in order to close that gap, I think we need to have a popularized view, a way to connect in common language that gets people to care. And then the last is really to close some of the gaps in our own community and really to be able to share, hey, guys, we're actually more aligned than you think. We care about the same things. Or, you know what, we're far away on these points. And until we come together and go as a group to advocate for the things that matter to us, we may have to make some compromises because not everybody gets their way. But the more that we can be aligned, combined, larger, bigger voices, people are going to find it harder to say no to us. So my hope is that all of those things will be affected by our public opinion research, by this tour. And the irony in Let's Adopt Reform is we're adopting something, but it's not what you think, right? It's this idea of new thought, new process, new practices, taking what we know to be working and highlighting that, and then making sure that where there are improvements needed, that we have the right spirit and information to go after the changes.
April, they have chosen the right woman for the job. Just saying, I'm clapping for you. Kudos to you for not only having the vision and being willing to dig deep, but having a plan in place in order to see this laid out. And I know you've got an entire team helping you, but your leadership and your voice and your passion for this comes through loud and clear today. And how incredible is it for the community that we call this adoption community to have your voice in such an influential place? Because it's super important. And I love so much of what you just shared. And if you could, real quick, I want to ask several questions of you that we could kind of ping-pong back and forth here to get this information out. Would you please share with us the four cities that you will be participating with to bring about this tour?
Well, I will tell you we're going to be on the West Coast, we're going to be in the South, and we're going to be in the Midwest, and we'll be on the East Coast. We're announcing the cities in September, now late September,
Oh.
So just a couple more weeks,
okay.
And everybody will know exactly where we are. Going
oh,
to
yay. Well, I'm sensing
we're
going to
hit,
out.
four main quadrants of the country.
Fantastic. I love that. And, you know, it's so fun because oftentimes people don't come out to the West. So as a Westerner, thank you very much for coming to the West. Just want to give that kudos to you. And, you know, you shared about an active opportunity to engage the community and how incredibly important that is to seeing that reform happen. And, you know, I'm part of a group, and you and I had talked a little bit offline about this, that I am bringing together a group of different individuals who are real invested in this community to put together a forum, a webinar series in November for Adoption Awareness Month, very similar to what you're doing. And we didn't even know that the two of us were doing this kind of initiative when we first started. And that just speaks so much to what you spoke about, April, about unearthing, about reinforcing what we know, about looking at what each group can offer to bring together a united voice in order to make the reform and the change necessary to be of complete service. And how incredibly amazing is that? Because, you know, if you and I are to be really honest with one another, April, navigating the relationships, having authentic conversations about this, whether we are speaking with someone who is intimately involved in adoption or someone who is on the outside kind of peeking in the window, is so incredibly important to have a voice that is gentle and kind, honest, true, and incredibly authentic, because we as a community have such a desire for the mystery surrounding our different challenges and obstacles, to have that kind of illuminated. I like to say to kind of peel back those layers, April, to where we can give the general public a peek into what's kind of going on in our hearts and in our minds. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I'm just so excited for everything that the Donaldson Adoption Institute, along with you and your team, are doing to bring this to the forefront. I truly believe the time is now for such initiative to really take place. So thank you, and thank you to Chalky. Thank you for being willing to close these gaps that we see throughout our culture, that these gaps are sometimes hard to jump over, and people don't understand. And as I talk to people around the country, April, in different organizations, they say one of the hardest ways or one of the biggest challenges they have is getting the support and getting the funding in order to do the research necessary and to get the support necessary to get this message out there in a very big way. And, yeah, you guys are doing that. And so congratulations on really stepping into this boldly.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So I want to take just a quick commercial break here, and I want to share with our listeners some of the upcoming shows that we have here on Life Coach Radio Network. Like I said earlier, I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach at Legacy Now Lived, and I come to you each and every month, the first and third Thursdays, typically of every month, on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. I will be on Life Coach Radio Network again on the several times, actually, in the upcoming weeks. On the 22nd of September, I have been called Lead Ann by a esteemed colleague, and I will be leading a Life Coach chat on that day. Also, tomorrow, I am going to be on again here on Life Coach Radio Network, and I'm going to interview a birth mom who runs Big Tough Girl. Her name is Ashley Mitchell, and I will be interviewing her tomorrow. Also super excited to announce that I am going to be interviewing the Ian Dory, one of the contestants who just, barely missed being the American Ninja Warrior this week on the American Ninja Warrior competition. And, you know, those of you who know me well know that I love to look around and become aware of who's really walking their talk. And I see that in Ian. I've known his family for many, many years and definitely knew Ian as a little boy, but not as a man. And I'm super excited to get to interview him coming up here in October. Also, I will be interviewing Mr. Captain Zipline, Monty from Salida, Colorado. And we're going to talk about letting go of the fears of starting business and what it really means to trust. And so he and I have spoken about what it's been like for him to start a business, two businesses actually, and what all that entails when it comes to trusting others and trusting what's around there to support us. So real in alignment with my work in the adoption community. Also, there you have some opportunities to look forward to. Collaboration is the new competition at 8 p.m. on the 20th of September. On the 21st, you can start over with Second Chances with Sharissa and Roz at 9 p.m. here on Life Coach Radio Network. And on the 23rd of September, I want to encourage you to join us for Think Tank here on the network. Again, if you have any desire to call in and chat with either April Dinwiddie or myself, Leanne Parsons, I want to welcome you to call in at 646-716-9397. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You are very privileged to hear from April Dinwiddie today. She is a nationally recognized thought leader on adoption and foster care and the CEO of the Donaldson Adoption Institute. And we have been chatting for over half an hour right now just about improving the laws and policies and practices through sound research, commitment, education, and advocacy regarding the adoption community. And April, welcome back to Walk Your Talk with Leanne. What an amazing conversation we have had up until this point. And the information that you are providing to my community, your generosity of sharing and your generosity of time is so incredibly appreciated. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Leanne, for having me. It's really an honor and a privilege. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. You know, in this next half hour or so, April, I'd really like to talk about what it looks like to help your initiative, right? How can the community at large help you? How can we support you? How, as professionals, adoptees, and parents, come alongside what it is that you're trying to see happen and bring that unity in? So I'd love to hear more about that. So take a sip of water, take your breath, and I'm going to check with one of our listeners that is on hold right now and see if they have a question or a thought for us while you do that and kind of gather your thoughts about how we can help you and assist the Donaldson Institute in this important initiative. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, great.
So
Hi there. I've got 0382 online. Did you have a question for either April or myself?
Hi, yeah. I'm Khadija. I'm from New Jersey, and I have a question for April. I was just wondering how the stigmatization of adopted people ranks compared to other groups out there who are stigmatized every day.
It's a great question. It's actually something we'll be looking to uncover as we look at our public opinion research, because what we find is that anecdotally, it feels like the general public does not really recognize that adoption as an idea in and of itself, the way we use the word adoption and words around adoption, like adopt a highway, the way that adoption of pets and adoption of people are aligned in such a way that it feels almost less human, right? Sometimes we will be looking at some of the public opinion research that we're doing that will really give us some insight to how adopted people feel stigmatized and how other stakeholder groups are stigmatized as well or feel stigmatized, and then looking at the general public to see if they recognize that there is stigma attached to adoption. And if you look deeper at, you know, just, you know, if you look at the words and some of the actions around, you know, like I said, you know, adopting a highway, adopting pets. We love pets. We absolutely think pets are the best. We think they should be rescued and adopted and cared for and loved. But the adoption of pets and the adoption of people should not be on par with one another. So it's a great question. It's something we'll be digging into both in the public opinion research and on our listening tour. So it's a great question. Thanks for asking it.
Great. I look forward to hearing more.
Thank you so much for calling in, listening in, and sharing your questions. Beautiful. Glad you're here. You're welcome. Please stay tuned for more info. So thank you, April, for being so willing to answer that question. What a powerful question. You know, she brought up a very important point, and you did as well, about how easily we throw around the word adoption. And I remember years ago when I was first introduced to the internet and was doing my adoption research, doing my searches, and I would type in the word adoption, and what would come up, it wasn't about people, it was about animals, it was about all of these other causes. And, you know, we do lump them together, but we're human beings, and this is a very, very different issue. So thank you for really planting your flag there, April, and speaking to that so boldly and courageously today.
So one of the things I'd like to just follow up quickly on, and it just is, it's sort of an exclamation point on the point about pets versus people. We did an active social listening project last November, National Adoption Awareness Month, which looked at Twitter conversations throughout the month of November, and what we discovered was the conversations around adoption in the month that is dedicated to adoption was more about the adoption of pets than people. So we know that there's a lot of work to do in terms of people's perception and where, you know, we hold the importance of the adoption experience. And we've been saying of late that there has to be a way to look more deeply at some of those perceptions. So it's a great way to be doing that at this point in time.
Yeah, I see that really dovetailing in with your public research that you're going to be doing, the opinion research, as well as how that's going to come out in your panels as you journey all over the U.S., raising awareness in this area. Super important. And so, you know, we're on this topic of reform and the stigmas. I would love it if you could share with us right now what you feel are the top maybe two areas where you see reform being needed the most.
So
I know that's a loaded question, April, and you know we're probably
question.
Not going to obviously answer
it's a great
that
question.
In a 1 hour show.
And this is a little bit esoteric, but it's a really important place to start. I think we have seen just in our research, but I would say more so in our personal experiences and in the way that the general public and even members of the adoption community see their experiences. We've been using this turn of phrase from transaction to transformation. And when I think even about my own personal experience, you know, it when you look at the paperwork, right, around my adoption, it's very transactional, which is what the nature of paperwork really is. But at the end of the day, we have to start thinking about the fuller picture and the lifelong transformation. And I want to be clear, transformation isn't necessarily in its essence a positive experience, right? It can be, but it can also be one of realization, good and bad. So we're not saying that we're going from a place of transaction where we really have operated in a lot of ways in the adoption process, which is, okay, let's keep moving. Let's just keep moving this along, and let's get to the final court date. And we're saying that we have to hold these experiences as much more transformational, and give all professionals, not just child welfare professionals, but the private attorneys who do this work as well, we need to start having the conversation about the transformational nature of this work, and not that it's just an exchange of one for another or one thing for another thing. It's about, what does this mean for families? What does this mean for first and birth families? What does this mean for adoptive family? And most importantly, and not just because I'm an adopted person, but because of the research that we know, and because of how we really need to hold, is the adopted person really needs to be at the center. So I think it's not an easy answer to dig down into the areas. I think when we're come out of this, we'll know exactly those 5, 4, however many things we come up with. We will be very clear and directive about those things that we will be holding up as, this is what we need to focus on. But overall, it's like taking this approach of, can we really look at this critically? Can we use what we've heard from the community, both, you know, through our research and through what we'll do in inviting the community in to tell us about their experience and share with us what's been good and what's not been great about it. And so the way the community can really engage here is, as always, not just around Blessed Adopt Reform, but be in touch with us. Email us, come in social media. We're starting to be much more active in social media. Tell us what we're doing well. Tell us what we're not doing well. I mean, we get a lot of communications from folks that say, hey, you should be talking more about this, or what about that? And we welcome that. We do a news feed every day. We'd love people to look at that. We'd love people to send us news. But specifically around Let's Adopt Reform, there is a letsadoptreform.org. Go there, sign up for email alerts. In phase two of our announcement, which will be coming in a couple of weeks, you'll see the cities, some of the panelists will be announced, the moderator will be announced, and in November there'll be the final site, which will include the invitation to the community to come and share their experiences. And so we hope this is active. We hope it will become more active as we move through the several months that we have ahead of us. And we know we're not going to get everything right, that is for sure. We know we're going to miss something. We know we're not going to say something quite right. That's just the nature of putting yourself out there as we have. But we're open to the feedback. We're open to the engagement. And we really hope that people will be actively involved.
You know, that's just so innovative and very bold of the Institute to be able to open yourself up to the community. You know, I see areas of reform. I'm, you know, speaking with folks all over the country and within the adoption community, April, and some of the areas that I see reform really being key is in the medical profession, in the hospitals, the way that the doctors and nurses interact with those in the hospital. I have a friend who runs Family to Family, Rebecca Bale, and she is involved in that arena. I see the adoption wellness perspective as far as well-being for all people involved, and that's kind of my passion, is to get the support and encouragement to each and every family, each and every individual, so they are able to step forward with confidence and a real sense of that they are being fully supported on their journey as far as, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally supported to do this journey called life well. And so that's a huge passion of mine, right? I see the need for the folks that, April, are afraid to come out of their homes or out of their, what I call the adoption closet, to start talking about these issues. So I love it that you, as well as those of us who are impassioned with this vision, to provide digital resources for this community where they can learn in the safety of their own home or perhaps in their agencies, perhaps in their support groups where they can use these resources to serve folks who maybe are not as vocal as you and I are of sharing. And I think the public opinion is huge. And I can't say enough how much I echo just my championing, oh, there's my cold coming out of you, and the Institute for doing this public opinion research, because giving the public a chance without us as the adoption community judging them for how they perceive this issue is going to be key into bridging that gap on a real positive communication level to where we really can close those gaps and really start developing dialogue that's dynamic and transformational to be able to serve and give voice to this community that so desperately deserves it. And, you know, if I can be so bold, we really do desire it. I don't know that I've spoken with anyone, April, in the adoption community that does not desire a more uniform system, which, as you say on your website, treats adoption as a lifelong transformation, not a transaction. We all have a desire for better futures and stronger families. And isn't that why we're here today? And we've got to remember that that is key and that it can happen. It's doable, but we've got to be able to share. We have to have courage to listen, right? And then we have an opportunity to reform and not be afraid to take those steps. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, it's true, and I really just appreciate the, you know, the good words, the good energy, and the vote of confidence, because, like I said, you know, this work is all encompassing and all consuming, and it's not just, you know, when I talk about other causes, right, or other things, like we're not all always perfectly aligned. We're not fighting, you know, one common enemy per se, right? Like, you know, cancer. Everybody is like, no, cancer is bad. You know, there are lots of nuances in our work, and with that, I thought it would be useful if I just talked really quickly about a couple of other projects that we have going on, just to give two things: a sense of, you know, the fact that we're not, while we're doing public opinion research, we're not abandoning academic research. And also that this will show you the breadth of the area we're focusing on. In just a week or so, we're going to be announcing our options counseling work. We're going to be announcing our research partner, and that looks at really the beginning stages of what might lead to adoption, which is how are pregnant women and their partners, in some cases, how are they being counseled in their decision making process. This will be a groundbreaking project for us under the Lynn Franklin Fund, which is a unique and dedicated funding stream for first and birth parent, expectant parent subject matter. So we're really excited about that. We're continuing to work on our openness curriculum, which is helping families really understand, hold, embrace, act upon, live openness in their relationships. We're also working on a search and reunion project that looks at who are the professionals helping adult adoptees look for their families and also first and birth families looking for their families. And then last but not least, we're looking at launching very soon our Building Strong Families initiative, which is rooted squarely in helping bring awareness, more action, and more advocacy for uniform post-adoption services around the country. We're starting in New York, and we're working on a blueprint here and hopefully going to fan that out into the rest of the world. So Let's Adopt Reform is the big project we're working on, but we have several other amazing and also as important and large-scale projects that we're working on, all in concert with that, which allows us to, I think, to tell a full story and to put information out there across the spectrum and bring to life some of our research with practical tools, which is what you'll see us doing more and more and more.
I love it. You know, I just had this when you were sharing, April, practical tools. I'm thinking of my garden, and I'm thinking of the tools that I need. You know, we've got to dig up that soil. We've got to remove the weeds. We have an opportunity to plant the seeds, to water, to provide the sunshine necessary in order for this beautiful garden of reform to grow. And you are doing that at the Institute. And thank you for recapping about openness, about reunion, about building strong families, and these other initiatives that fall under the umbrella of the Let's Adopt Reform. Kudos. My heart is so full. I feel so in alignment with you. You know, please, I know we're at the top of the hour and I want to be sensitive of your time, but what is one practical way that folks, I know you said share information on your website, come to you. Is there anything else that we can do as a community to really encourage you and spur the Institute on to continuing to step forward?
Well, I think I would say there are two things. There's one sort of less practical, more emotional, and one very practical. Mm-hmm. The emotional one is, can we just really be good to each other? You know, I underestimated the power of the connectivity of the community, but also the power of the divisiveness of the community. And I will say, I'm experiencing far more connectivity than I ever have. And I just want to give tons of thanks to all of my true, you know, my adoptive, my first and birth family, but also the family that surrounds me in the adoption experience. You know, the first and birth parents I know, the adoptive people I know, the adoptive parents I know, the professionals I know. You know, just continue to be good to each other and realize and recognize that our journeys are amazing and beautiful and heavy. And I think so that's sort of the warm and fuzzy thing that I would say. And then the real practical thing is to, you know, to keep engaging. And it's like, you know, just because we don't get the answer that we want the first time or something isn't exactly how we want it, keep at it. You know, keep at it and keep challenging us and other organizations to do better. And that's, you know, to get on board with Let's Adopt Reform and just continue to do the great work that everybody's doing, because every person who is acting, even in some small way, is contributing to what could be a much more open and strong future.
Oh, I so agree, and just echo that. We all have a very important thread. And, you know, when we think of a tapestry, because I love to call my adoption journey, as well as some of the folks that I work with, the tapestry of adoption. And when we think about if a thread is missing, how we really do notice that. And there is a hole there. And so everybody's thread is so important. The work of the Donaldson Adoption Institute is a very integral and crucial thread. So the tapestry of adoption will not become unraveled, and we are better together, stronger together, and each thread is so incredibly important. So thank you, April, for bringing your voice, your vision, the Institute's vision, and just sharing so much valuable information with our community. And I just want to offer you up an opportunity to share a web address, phone numbers, any way that if anybody wants more information about this initiative or how they can help or support, either financially, emotionally, which is huge. I agree. Be nice, be good to one another, and to keep engaging. April, how can they get a hold of you?
Okay, great. Let'sAdoptReform.org, one word, Let'sAdoptReform. You can send us emails to info@adoptioninstitute.org. And our phone number at the Institute is 212-925-4089. We welcome engagement and feedback, and hope that everybody will come on board this journey with us on Let's Adopt Reform. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to share it with you, to do this work, and to help build stronger families.
Absolutely. Thank you, April. And again, all my listeners, to you, I thank you for having the courage to lean in and listen today, to listen to the voice of adoption, to put the focus on reform, dignity, conscious choice, collaboration, and just a real sense of unity. Again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach at Legacy Now Lived. I just want to encourage you, if you have questions, thoughts, or comments on today's program or any of the programs that I've had, please reach out to me at 505-412-1817 or on my website, thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. I welcome your feedback. If there are folks that you know that I should know, please reach out to me and make an introduction. I love to connect, learn, and grow with each one of you. So I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne as I interview Ashley Mitchell, a big tough girl. She is a first mom, and I encourage you to tune in if you have some time. Please also remember that all of my shows are archived on iTunes as well as on my website. So I encourage you to tune in and listen. And again, April, thank you so much to you and to the Donaldson Adoption Institute for joining me today on my radio program. I look forward to future conversation with you. I look forward to learning more and just really standing in support of all the work that you're doing there.
Oh, thanks so much, Leanne, and your continued action in this area and engagement and all the good work that you're doing is a real blessing to all of us. So thank you so much.
It's indeed my pleasure, privilege, and honor. Until next time, everyone, I just want to encourage you to outlive your life. We do not only leave a legacy, we live it every day, and you have an opportunity to live out loud today. Have your voice heard, your passions acknowledged, and the ability to impact this world and this culture in a way that nobody else can. So until next time, God bless and be well.